Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And unfortunately, for the next hour, they're going to be the views, I believe, of David Whitney, Pastor David Whitney. And I'm going to have to ask my producer, if he wouldn't mind going ahead, just calling the house and see if they can get David Whitney's telephone number. I think we put down we had changed the guest for this evening, and unfortunately, why it didn't get changed for my producer. So hopefully he'll call the house, get Pastor Whitney's telephone number, and we'll give him a call. But while we're waiting for Pastor Whitney, we certainly want to talk about what's happening financially, and I know certainly most people out there are concerned about what's happening, and instead of waiting for this recession to end, after all, we've had a number of recessions through the years, and they've always ended. Only this recession is not a recession, it's a depression, and it's not going to end for a good long time. And when it does end, I fear that the America we have known and loved is not going to exist anymore. There's going to be one of two things. Either we're going to go back to a solid currency and get away from the control of our currency, the artificial prosperity that our invisible government has given us, or we will be living in a dictatorship. And I really believe that that they have an organized, orchestrated effort to destroy our nation. I think they're going to use the chaos that's coming to bring about the new world order. Will they succeed? I don't know. But I'm going to ask my producer if he wouldn't mind calling the house and getting the telephone number for Pastor David Whitney. He's the guest this evening, and it's not Butch Paul. Alright, and so hopefully we'll have somebody here before long. And but in the meantime, if you're out there and you'd like to give us a call, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. I think what you have to understand is that as bad as things seem to be here, and certainly we're pushing in an unemployment rate of which will probably be about 10% by the end of this year, the first of next year, and that, of course, is simply an underestimate. Many of the people, you know, who they count employed have had to take a job at half pay or are working only part-time. And then there's a lot of people who are permanently unemployed. In fact, if you go to John Williams, on his shadow statistics, he will tell you that the real unemployment rate today is closer to 17%, not 7.8%, as they tell you. So that when we get up at first to in the realm of 10 or 11%, you're really going to be talking well over 25% unemployment. And this is having a disastrous effect, not only on the individuals involved, but on the housing market. And you're seeing many people with prime loans, the people who actually were able to put down 20% on their when they bought their home, who had a good job, who had a good income, and then suddenly they find that, of course, they've lost their job, and they can't make the payments, and they're going into default as well. And, of course, the interesting thing is the government absolutely refuses to address the issue of the cascading collapse of the housing market. They could have done something last October. They decided not to. They appropriated $700 billion, and they refused to do anything at that time, and they're not doing anything today. Do you honestly think that building bridges 2 years from now is going to solve the problems that we have here in the United States today? Well, it's going to create a lot of jobs, but they're going to be over in China and elsewhere. Well, this is Dr. Stan. If you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And if you'd like to give us a call, well, we'd be glad to talk to you until such time as we're able to get our regularly scheduled guest, Pastor David Whitney, who we hope we'll have with us very, very shortly. But as we talk and we look at what's happening financially, if we look at the so-called stimulus bill, it really was not a stimulus bill. It was basically a bill for socialism. I mean, what does bringing socialized medicine to our country have to do with getting us out of the problem that we're in? And of course, this has been a basic goal. And of course, when they talk about providing health care for everybody, what they're really talking about is rationing health care, because that's what socialism's all about. Now, supposedly this is going to be financed by taxing the wealthy. Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that you can do all you want to as far as taxing the wealthy, but that is not, of course, going to pay for this socialized medical bill, and they're simply going to have to do this with monetizing debt and, of course, increasing the economic problems of our country. But the health care that they're talking about is really destroying the current Medicare system. Well, of course, it's not financially stable anyway, but they're going to have to destroy the current system, and they're going to have to ration access to health care. Do you really want the bureaucrats who managed the crisis in New Orleans during the Katrina managing your health care? I mean, the people in Washington, D.C. have lost a couple of $1 trillion. The Defense Department doesn't know where a couple of $1 trillion has gone. The people in Washington, D.C., because of political pressure, have allowed the dumping of a toxic substance to our drinking water, something called hydrofluorosilicic acid, which is so toxic you can't even store it in a metal barrel because it'll eat right through it. And in fact, when it's trucked into your community to put into your water supply, they have to have special rubber lined tanks on the trucks that are bringing it in. Do you really trust these people with your help? Help the people who are putting the mercury in the vaccines, who have done everything to cover up for the fact that in Europe they do not allow mercury fillings in most of the country over there because they know they're poisoning the people. The people who actually have released aspartame, and this is the reason for the pathological obesity. And we have our guest on the line, David Whitney. Thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome, Dr. Stan. It's a pleasure to be with you and to talk about these important issues in terms of our constitutional republic. And
if we were abiding by our Constitution, we wouldn't be the mess we are today. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Pastor David Whitney, and we're going to be talking about our Constitution. And the thing is that if we abided by the Constitution, why, we would not have a fiat money system in the United States and throughout the world that is today crashing, and of course is going to bring down the financial structure of the whole world. Our founding fathers were pretty smart. They didn't want a paper money system. They knew that they had not worked. They knew they didn't work in ancient Greece. They didn't work in ancient Rome. They certainly didn't work, you know, during the time of the Templars. They didn't work during the time of the Lombard system that was in Europe. They didn't work in ancient Florence. In Florence in the 15 and 1600s, they certainly didn't work in the United States during the Revolutionary War. They didn't work in France in the early 1700s or the late 1700s. I mean, there's so many examples. They know fiat money systems are not going to work. That's why they introduced it. Do you know a better way to destroy a nation than to botch its currency? But if we were abiding by our Constitution, we wouldn't have the problem. So let's talk about our Constitution, David. Pastor David Whitney is with the Institute of the Constitution, dedicating his life to bring the truth out and to try to rekindle a belief in our laws, which are our legal laws of this country. And we've got subversive elements in Washington, D.C., who have undermined our Constitution and brought us to the tragic situation where we are now. But believe me, we're just beginning to see the beginning. Things are going to get a lot worse, and a lot more people are going to lose their homes, and we're moving into a period of chaos and crisis. Pastor David Whitney, you pick up the story.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you mentioned that our founders tried fiat currency during the War for Independence. They printed money that they called a continental, and it became a byword, as worthless as a continental, because the paper, it wasn't even worth the paper it was printed on, and merchants wouldn't accept it. They knew that it ultimately was something that was not going to be exchangeable for any other goods or services themselves. And that was during the period of time when, before our Constitution was drafted and ratified, we were under the Articles of Confederation. You see, when our founders declared independence in 1776, two things had to happen immediately. They went home, first of all, to their own states, now that they were no longer colonies, they were free states, and they had to draft state constitutions for each one of their state governments. Then they had to come back and put together an Articles of Confederation for the states, the 13 existing states, to cooperate with one another in certain specific areas, and it was more of a compact among those 13 states than a true constitution. And it was a league of friendship, which is what its purpose was, for common defense, security of liberty, and mutual welfare. And by the way, you might understand that the purposes for the Articles of Confederation were not changed when we formed our Constitution. There were some additions to it, you might say modifications, and things that were troublesome at the time. For instance, fiat currency was one of the issues that they... when they drafted our Constitution, they said, no, we're not going to permit fiat currency at all. The rights of citizens while in other states were one of the things that the Articles of Confederation secured, so that if you were a citizen of Virginia and you traveled in Maryland or South Carolina, your rights were secured while you were in this other state, unlike if it was a separate country that had its own laws where your rights might not be respected. So it was kind of an agreement, a compact for states to recognize the citizenship rights of the citizens of other states. Now the states, of course, were restricted, things they could not do. They could not maintain treaties or make treaties with other countries. They could not maintain standing armies, and that is a very important principle that was also incorporated in our Constitution. Even in the midst of the war for independence, our founders knew that a standing army was extremely dangerous to liberty, because what happens is a petty tyrant will ultimately attempt to use the standing army to advance their own agenda, not for the welfare of the people, not to protect them from invasion, but to build an empire, to advance their own agenda, which doesn't have anything to do with truly protecting the God-given rights of the people. The states, actually, in terms of the army and how the army was to function, the states were to appoint militia officers, and the militias were, they belonged to the state, they were controlled by the state until they were called up and then federalized in the sense that the federal army was formed. And everything but generals was appointed by the states. So the states appointed all the officers of the militia with the exception of the generals. The costs of the war for independence, were to be paid out of the treasury of this confederacy, which is the term used for this group of states that had compacted together. It was a confederacy. And the treasury of the confederacy was under the control of Congress and the Committee of States. That is, nine states could act when Congress was in recess. So it didn't require all 13 to act if Congress was in recess. And actually, they invited Canada to join them. They wanted to see if they might expand this confederation. One of the things they did is they determined that they would honor all past debts, which is a good and godly thing to do. If you've entered into a contract, an agreement, but you have a change of government, then it is honorable to say, yes, I will fulfill the commitments and debts that I incurred. I will pay them. And the one element that was very difficult, or proved to be very difficult, was that unanimous consent of all 13 states was required for there to be any amendment to this Articles of Confederation. So no change unless all 13 weighed in and all 13 were unanimous in their consent for an amendment to this Articles of Confederation. Well, some of the limitations that the Articles had, which over time proved to be very detrimental, particularly during the war itself, is there was no chief executive. And of course, we look at what our chief executives have done just the past 8 years is a fine example, but certainly before that, well, you might think maybe they were better off not having a chief executive. The other thing that was lacking in the Articles of Confederation is there was no federal judiciary. Each of the states had their own court system. But what would happen if you were trying to deal with a lawsuit that involved another state, not your own state, and how would you resolve that? And so there was no federal judiciary that could resolve interstate sort of disputes or problems that arose. between the states.
But of course, the thing is, initially, when they did establish that our Constitution and they did have a federal judiciary, it was primarily to deal with differences between the states, not within people. And it had, might have to do with relationship between people and the state, but it was not to have to do with individuals.
That's right.
It was to limit the power of the federal government over the lives of the people, and matters dealing with life, liberty, and property were to be left to the states, and matters dealing with the individual were left to the states, and they were never to tax the individual, because they knew that if they could ever tax the individual, they could control the individual. And next time you're filling out your income tax forms, remember that. They make them especially difficult and especially confusing, so that even many times the IRS agents can't figure out what it is. Why? To intimidate you. They're playing games with your minds. And I can never forget talking to one of the lead IRS officials here in the western part of the United States many years ago, and having to do with my pension fund, my corporate pension fund. And, of course, he said, Stan, if we were on a first-name basis, he said, I can't even understand the laws dealing with pensions. If I can't, if you can't, if I can tell you what to do, I'd make a suggestion, get out of your pension fund, pay the fees, pay the fines, but get out of the pension fund, because, of course, nobody can really understand what the laws are. That's what it's really all about. They know what they're doing. They want to intimidate you because you might become a criminal. You filled out a form wrong. And they said poor Senator Stevens, and I'm not saying what, maybe he wasn't doing some shady things, but he was indicted and to be sent to prison for filling a federal form out incorrectly. Go right ahead, David.
Oh, yeah, and that's an egregious violation of our God-given rights to make the law so incomprehensible that nobody can follow it. That kind of seems like the purpose then would be to criminalize all of us and have an easy way to take anyone down. Well, so in addition to not having a federal judiciary, which again, today in hindsight, we might say, well, that's a good thing, but as you said, it was the federal judiciary created by the Constitution was very, very limited, and when we get to Article 3 of the U.S. Constitution, we'll examine those limitations on the federal judiciary. The third thing that was a limitation that we again might think, well, that was a good thing, was that the federal government had no taxing power at all. It could not force anyone to pay anything at all. And it was only by voluntary requisition that the Congress would ask, no individuals were asked, it was not a taxation of individuals at all, but they would request that the states make a contribution. It wasn't required that the states do this. It was kind of, well, if the states chose to do it, fine. If they didn't, fine. But the result was that there was no funding, regular funding available to actually fight the war. And so you have, the troops in Valley Forge not having adequate shoes for their feet, not having enough gunpowder and bullets. I mean, essential things that if you're going to fight a war and win the war that you have to have were unavailable oftentimes because there was no means to enforce taxing defray the expenses of the war. So there was no taxing power. Fourthly, there was no federal enforcement powers, which again, we might look at that and say, well, that's a wonderful thing. The federal government can't enforce any laws. But again, there was a downside to that in that there was an inability to actually have the federal government accomplish some of the goals that were set out by the Articles of Confederation to accomplish. And then finally, that all states had to consent to any amendment was a grave difficulty that when they finally met to try to amend the articles, they realized Rhode Island was never going to participate, therefore they couldn't amend the Articles of Confederation. They had to write a whole new constitution, which is what they did.
All right, fine. We're going to be back in just a moment. We're going to be talking about the amazing Constitution, the foundation of our freedom. And, of course, there's all the subversive people working within Congress and the executive branch, and, yes, even with the judicial branch of our government who don't believe in the Constitution. They believe it's a breathing document, a living document, which means, of course, it's a pathway to tyranny. Go right ahead, David.
Well, the events that led up to our Constitutional Convention was that the Articles of Confederation barely held us together as a country. I mean, it barely kept...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com.
Why you just print more money, and then you have to print more money, and you get inflation, and you got to print more money, and pretty soon the continental dollar was simply worthless. It wasn't worth continental. And there are a lot of problems with the Articles of Confederation, how you got the states to contribute, and certainly the working out of the relationship between the states and somebody coming into your state from a foreign state. Not a foreign country, but another state. And so basically there was talk about we need to have a constitution to replace the Articles of Confederation. So pick the story up there.
And so Alexander Hamilton was one who first was urging this, actually during the war, because he saw the problems as an aide-de-camp of General Washington. So closely working with Washington, he saw up front the difficulties and problems, particularly in funding, that was created because the Articles of Confederation forced no one to make any contribution at all. And so after the war, Hamilton persuaded his own state, New York, to to pass a resolution urging a constitutional convention, but no other state at this point stepped forward to do that. New York was basically a voice crying in the wilderness sort of thing. Nobody else was listening. Then in 1783, Hamilton urged Congress to call a convention. No success at all there. 2 years later, in 1785, Hamilton was able to persuade Washington, George Washington, to write a letter to the 13 states urging a constitutional convention. And this got the ball rolling. In 1786, Congress actually called a trade conference, and this trade conference was designed really to address some of the interstate problems, problems between states that were occurring, and see if they could address that. And it was held here in Annapolis, and the problem was only five states were representative there. So the other eight states did not bother to send any representatives, and they recognized, wow, we can't even get close to the 13 that we need in order to make any amendments to the Articles of Confederation. So the 1786 meeting was really a failure. It didn't accomplish anything on the surface. But on the other side, it got five states committed to saying, we've got a problem here. We need to do something to address this problem. And so the following year, 1787, Congress then called for a constitutional convention to be held in Philadelphia beginning on the 14th of May. And the instructions Congress gave to this constitutional convention were for the sole and express purpose of revising the Articles of Confederation. So as they gathered in Philadelphia in May of 1787, they knew that their task was to revise the Articles of Confederation. Well, when the 14th of May rolled around, there was only two states that had sent delegates that had arrived by that time, and so the convention didn't actually begin until the 25th of May, when 12 of the 13 states had representatives there in Philadelphia. So there was these days between May 14th and May 25th that you might have thought was just wasted time. However, it was not, because James Madison and others from his home state, Virginia, prepared what are known as the Virginia Resolves, and these really became the basic agenda for the Constitutional Convention. So as they met and talked during those 2 weeks, and that time transpired, they were able to put together an agenda that the other delegates who were just arriving hadn't been party to, and yet as that agenda was presented to them, all of the delegates began to realize, yes, this is the direction that we need to take. This is what we need to do. When we look at the convention itself, we find that there's 55 delegates from 12 states. Rhode Island never, ever did send any delegates to the convention and never indicated it would. It was not going to participate in whatever was decided there at the convention. These delegates were intelligent men, experienced, educated. 31 were attorneys. 19 were military veterans, 28 were former congressmen, there were two college presidents, three college professors, and several doctors and scientists. These were, in a sense, intellectually speaking, these were the cream of the crop in America of that day. And as they met and began to debate, we could see, examining their own understanding, they agreed on the basic values and principles that are expressed in the Declaration of Independence. And this is one of those things that the left and those who reject the biblical foundation for our country, that our country is founded as a Christian nation, those who reject it want to draw a sharp divide between what the people said and those who drafted the Declaration of Independence and what our founders in the Constitutional Convention believe. But that's a false divide. It does not exist. The Declaration really is the preamble to the Constitution, and our founders held to those truths, those self-evident truths of the Declaration.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney. And you must understand that America was founded by people who believed in Christianity, believed that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Well, Pastor, you go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. And the things that our founders in the Constitutional Convention all agreed upon is that there is a supreme law of the universe. They called it in the Declaration the laws of nature, nature's God. Laws of nature is what God has written on the heart of every man, as Romans 2, 14 and 15 clearly state. The laws of nature's God refers to the entire Bible, which they understood to be God's law book. And so they had an understanding that there's a supreme law of the universe under which any just government must conform its legal system and its laws to that supreme law of the universe, for those laws to actually be valid laws. So they agreed that there's a laws of nature and nature's God, founded in God's word, given to us by God's word in the Bible. Secondly, they agreed together that God has given to human beings unalienable rights. The first three and the first most important three are life, liberty, and property. They are given not by government, they're given by God, and they are unalienable because God gave them and nobody can take them away. People violate them all the time, and you know, King George III was doing that in their day, but just because the king is violating those rights don't mean those rights don't exist. They are unalienable. You can't take them away. You can't even give your rights away. God has given them to you, and they are eternal. Thirdly, they understood government to be established by a covenant. That is, we the people together in agreement, covenant together, giving, because if we have received God-given rights, then we give limited, delegated, enumerated powers to the government that we, the people, form. Government doesn't come up and exist on its own. It comes out of a consent of we, the people, who are governed by it. And so government only has the limited powers the people delegate to it. And, for instance, consider what the Bill of Rights Second Amendment speaks of, our right to keep and bear arms. Here in my state and many other states around the nation, you are denied that God-given right to bear arms. They say, oh, you can't have it unless we get you a concealed permit, and we're never going to give you a concealed permit because you don't carry large sums of money or whatever. You know, it's like, wait a minute. If I have a God-given right to self-protection and I covenant together with my neighbors for us to hire somebody to protect us, the policeman, we have not surrendered our right to protect ourselves by hiring the policeman. No, rather, we have taken our God-given right to self-defense, and we're giving limited delegated powers to that policeman.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course we're talking with Pastor David Whitney really about our Constitution, the most remarkable document ever written, really the foundation of our freedom. And this is why America is different than any other country. A United Nations Declaration of Human Rights gives you all these rights, but they can be taken away because they give them to you. Here in America, your freedoms come from God, acknowledged in the Declaration of Independence, which was the preamble for all intents and purposes to our Constitution. And that is, of course, what they don't want you to know. The people who hate God, and they put the people onto the Supreme Court, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who is a Mason and deeply involved with the Satanic movement, placed people on the Supreme Court intentionally to take God and prayer out of our schools. And if you want more information, you need to see the wonderful new DVD we have entitled The Eye of the Phoenix, which goes into Franklin Delano Roosevelt and his association with Satanism. But you're not going to hear that any place at all, because they don't want you to know these things. Well, David, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution, how they can take the course on the Internet, and, of course, why they must set up these teaching classes all across America. Because we cannot preserve our nation if people don't understand it. Go right ahead.
That's absolutely right. And so we've put together what we call a host kit, which is a way that you can communicate these truths to a circle of people that are in your maybe family, friends, people at your church, people that you know in the community. And you can take the course yourself, actually, online now at iotconline.com, standing for Institute on the Constitution, iotconline.com. When you open the first page there, right at the top line, you can click on the online course. You can register there, and then we'll send you an email. And once you receive that email, you can go into the course itself and actually pay the fee. It's a small fee of $30, which we give you, if you choose then to go on and purchase the host kit, we'll give you that $30 back towards the purchase of your host kit. But setting up a study group is one of the most important things you can do as a citizen to take back our republic. The reason why our constitutional republic has been destroyed is for lack of knowledge on the part of the citizens. Yes, the wicked in Washington, D.C. are doing what they're doing, but they can only get away with it if we, the citizens of this country, don't know the law, the supreme law of the land, and we don't hold our elected officials accountable to that. We don't vote for people who will abide by that. I mean, many people in this last election said, well, you know, I just got to choose a lesser of two evils, rather than saying, no, I had to choose somebody who is constitutional. And to my knowledge, there was only one person on the ballot, Chuck Baldwin, that was truly constitutional, understanding and committed to actually abiding by the terms of the Constitution as it was originally written. So studying these materials ourselves, whether we take the online course or purchase a host kit, and then getting a study group together in your community is essential. That is the key. If we don't do that, we're not going to be able to restore the republic. And as you have said, Dr. Sam, and so many of your other shows, the hour is very, very late. What the tyrants and the wicked are doing in destroying and planning actually now to eliminate the Constitution, that's the North American Union and that whole plan, they are moving rapidly at it. And unless we, the people, rise up in mass and refuse to allow them to do these illegal things, which is what any violation of the Constitution is, it's an illegal thing. And so you can go to our website, iotconline.com, click on that to either order a host kit or to take the online course. And in addition, if people would prefer to call us toll-free during regular business hours here on the East Coast, our toll-free number at Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796. Again, that toll-free number for Institute on the Constitution is 866-730-9796. And it's encouraging to see all over the country these study groups forming, as well as a continual flow of people who are signing up to take the online course.
And of course, this is why every month we have Pastor David Whitney on this station that you're listening to now, because we have to get the American people involved. There's something you can do. You don't have to just sit there and wring your hands. What are you doing to try to serve our nation? What are you doing to try to stop the financial destruction of our nation, which is taking place intentionally because we, the wicked people, turned their back, you know, on the provisions of our Constitution. The Federal Reserve System is illegal and unconstitutional, but nobody's going to say that. So much of what's going on in Washington, D.C., frankly subversive. We have people who hate America working at the highest levels of our government under globalism to actually transfer our wealth, transfer our manufacturing, transferring our jobs overseas so that they can lower our living standards. They know what they're doing. But the average individual doesn't, and they do not have a right to do that, to swear that they will hold our Constitution as they work to destroy the sovereignty of our nation and, of course, the industrial capacity of our once great nation. So help us if you really care, and you can be involved. But you go right ahead, David.
Yes, and it'll take a massive group of citizens who are tired of the violations of the law to say, it is enough, we will not tolerate this going on any longer. Well, before the break, we were talking about the illustration of the Second Amendment that is based upon my God-given rights to self-defense. I have the right to carry a gun. I have a right to defend myself. And therefore, together with my community of neighbors, we could compact together and agree together. We're going to hire a policeman to protect us. But by doing so, we don't give up our rights to carry a gun to protect ourselves. No, we give that policeman limited, delegated, enumerated powers, very limited. We say you can do these things, you just can't walk into anybody's house anytime you choose without a search warrant or whatever. No, these are the only things we permit you, Mr. Policeman, to do. One of the things we permit you to do and delegate you to do is carry a gun. But just because we delegate you to carry a gun doesn't mean suddenly we lose our right to carry a gun. And in our state and many other states, the idiots who are seeking our destruction have said, oh, no, once you give the police a gun, you can't have a gun anymore. What? How could I possibly give my power that God has given me to carry a gun to a police officer if I never had it to begin with? And again, Most Americans aren't thinking along these lines that they need to understand the whole gun control thing is a fraud. It's a sham. It's a direct denial of what our founders clearly believed, that government is by consent of the governed, and it's by covenant that we, the people, covenant together, giving civil government only such limited power as we, the people, choose to delegate to it.
And, you know, I think it's so, it should be so obvious. It should be one of these things that's self-evident, that if the average person had a right to keep and carry a gun, you wouldn't have a lawless state like we have in some of our counties here in California, where there's shootings all the time. But if those people were going around shooting innocent people, or the gang members knew that somebody close by might have a gun and shoot back at them, they would think very strongly about possibly shooting. But they know that they have nothing to fear from the people in the area. This is why sometimes people will walk into a church or walk into a McDonald's restaurant and just start shooting people, because they know that nothing can be done to them, and they can always kill themselves, or maybe they'll get away with it. But this is why people go onto the school grounds and start shooting children, because they're all shooting galleries. Mm-hmm. Nobody can have a gun to defend the children. And, of course, people say, oh, we've got to take the guns away. You know, no, don't take them away from the law-abiding citizens, and the criminals are not going to give them up. If you can show me a system by which you can get all the criminals to give up their guns, then we do not have to have an armed populace, but you cannot come up with that. So, certainly, the criminals will always have guns. This is why we need to have the right of the people to bear arms. It's guaranteed under our Constitution, the Second Amendment. We have people who hate that because they want a dictatorship in America. And they actually are encouraging this whole idea of lawlessness, to disarm the people as a stepping stone to the tyranny they plan. There really are people who want a dictatorship in America. They're actually doing everything they can to talk about chaos and revolution. They've got people planted within the conservative movement talking about revolution, how we've got to rise up with weapons against the government. That's exactly what these people want. Then they can justify imposing their dictatorship. There really are people who have a different worldview, and when you understand that, why, you can understand what's really going on. Go right ahead.
Well, yeah, and exactly right, Dr. Stan, because our founders understood that all people, including those who are rulers, have a sinful nature. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, is what Romans says, and they understood and believed that, and therefore they knew you cannot trust anybody with unlimited power. The only way you're going to grant power to a person in the role of a civil government, whether it's a police officer, whether it's a judge, a governor, a president, a congressman, whatever, the only way you'll grant them power at all is if that power is checked. It is limited. It has a force that comes up against it to prevent it from becoming tyrannical. Why? Because every human being has a sinful nature. And this is a key thought. If you reject the idea of the depravity of human beings, that all human beings are sinners, and that therefore you cannot trust any human being with unlimited power, if you deny that that's true, and you believe, well, really all people are good, and essentially they've got a good heart, and just let's just trust them, what you're going to wind up is with the people who are the most ruthless, the people who are the best liars, the people who are, they have no compunctions at all about murder. Those are the people who are going to rise to the top, because in that system, scum rises to the top. And if you believe that those people are good and you're just going to trust them with power, look out. They are going to do you a great deal of harm.
And I would just want to point out that we have people in positions of power today. The president, President Obama, promised to get our troops out of Iraq. And now he says, well, we're going to get them out in August of 2010. Well, why do we want to wait till 2010? Well, that's the time that he's found. But he's going to leave 30,000 to 50,000 troops there. Why is he going to leave the 30,000 to 50,000 troops? Because we're going to continue occupying the nation.
Mm.
But he didn't tell you that when he was running for office, did he?
No.
He talked about he believed in gun rights. He wasn't going to take away our guns. And yet they're doing everything they can now. They're planning on doing away with the reinstituting the ban, so-called, on assault rifles, which are nothing more than semi-automatic weapons that you can use to protect yourself. President Obama has simply lied to the American people. He tells us that we're going to increase, in spending, and we're going to cut taxes, and somehow we're going to be able to balance the budget. You can't do that. And, of course, what they're really going to do is, of course, promote inflation, destroy the value of our currency, impoverish our people. President Obama spent 20 years going to a church under the tutelage of a minister who hates America. He used to say, GD America. He'd say it over and over again. This is the man that Obama really believes in. Had nothing to do with race. It's his hatred of America. And he's the president of the United States. And he actually, in a recent poll where they asked people who they respected the most, I mean, was it Jesus Christ? Was it certainly Ronald Reagan? Was it Franklin Delano Roosevelt? Was it Barack Obama? And who do you think came out over the top, even more popular than Jesus Christ? Barack Obama.
Really?
Created by the media. And, of course, when you understand the media is controlled, they manipulate our reality, they form our tastes. Why we can understand why so many people don't understand that this man has said one thing, he means another, and of course most people simply sit there and blindly applaud like they did for Adolf Hitler and FDR and so many of the other men who've been deeply involved in the occult. Go right ahead.
And so while all people have a sinful nature, people do need order. In other words, anarchy is not the answer to this conundrum. It's anarchy is every man does what's right in his own eyes. And I know that there might be those who are more of the libertarian persuasion that kind of believe in the direction of anarchy. It's best that we don't have any government. Well, no, our founder said everyone needs government because all men are sinners. But the opposite of that is tyranny, where there's absolute dictatorial control over people's lives. And that's not safe either, because rulers are also sinful people. And rulers themselves need limits. And so the problem that they were confronted with as they wrestled with the issues and debated the issues is, how in the world do you enable the government to govern the people? That is, to control the people in the ways that are necessary. Yet on the other hand, how do you get government to control itself, to not step outside the boundaries? And so when they were crafting our Constitution, they were very clear about establishing boundaries, establishing limitations, and so on, to prevent government from becoming tyrannical and stepping outside of its boundaries. Because they knew anybody in that position of power, whether president or congressman or judge, they would, because of their fallen, sinful, depraved human nature, would tend to push the boundaries, try to step over the boundaries, and so they needed clear checks and balances to prevent that kind of what our founders called usurpation. That is, taking powers to yourself that do not belong to you and you do not have permission to have them. And we see our federal government doing this all the time, usurping powers that do not belong to it at all, belong to either the states or to the individual citizens themselves.
And it really is so funny, you know, the way that they tend to deprecate people who believe in the Constitution. I'll never forget when Leslie Stahl was interviewing Judge Scalia, who believes in the Constitution and thinks it should be interpreted as written. And she said, oh, you're an originalist. You're an originalist. Like she said to some fellow who wanted to keep the jobs in America, who worked in a steel factory. Why, you're a protectionist. You're a protectionist. And how they put you into a defensive position. What's wrong with believing in the Constitution as it was written? I would say I'm not an originalist. I believe in the Constitution. Don't you? Do you believe, of course, that we should modify it? We should, whatever men want, they can do. You believe that certainly we should remove all restrictions on government? Because that's what the Constitution said. Restrict the power of government, so people can be free. And notice how 60 Minutes is used. Why, you're an originalist. You're a protectionist. Why, you believe in the Constitution. As if there's something wrong with that. That's the law of our land, ladies and gentlemen. And 60 Minutes is part of the occult hierarchy that's intent upon destroying it, as ABC and NBC and CNN and all the media that is controlled by the wicked people. But go ahead.
And that's right. And so when they met together, the actual debates, what they recognized, they needed a president who would oversee the entire Continental Congress, and they elected George Washington. He was perhaps the most respected American at the time. They knew that he would be fair, that he would be handling it correctly. Then they determined that each state would only have one vote for their entire state. Whatever the majority of that state's delegation determined would be how that state voted, and each state only had one vote in making those decisions. Well, to prevent false rumors and so on, they kept the proceedings secret, and they kept it secret until the last delegate died. They made a commitment to that, and that last delegate was who's often called the father of our Constitution, James Madison, in 1836. And his notes are good reading as to how the debates proceeded in the Constitutional Convention.
An amazing document that preserved freedom for a time, but of course eventually people, they wanted the good life. They wanted lots of free money. They wanted government to provide for them. And of course when that happened, why, of course they allowed them to erode our Constitution and take God out of America. Well, David, you go right ahead. You've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Okay.
But why don't you go ahead and get out your website and once again your telephone number.
And again, this is a very, very powerful tool.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
309796.
One more time.
That phone number again is 866-730-9796, and our website at Institute on the Constitution is iotconline.com.
Good night, David. God bless. And
God
thanks
bless.
So much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Stan.
Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and we do hope that those of you that have been listening really have enjoyed the program, but you must understand our Constitution is the foundation of our freedom, and unless the American people understand it and understand that the secret of America was to limit the power of government so people could be free. And government is not to provide for our health care. Yes, there's all sorts of problems with our health care, and it's extremely expensive. And certainly we do not have the best health care in the world, but the reason we don't is because government interference and because the wicked people have infiltrated our various government agencies. They're prescribing all sorts of medicines that do far more harm than good. And certainly we don't want to get onto a long discussion of that, but there's no problem facing medicine today that a new government program won't make worse, and what we need to do is get government out of medicine. When I first went into practice, and I think we were getting $4 an office visit, and I will tell you I was doing far better off than I was 35 years later when I retired from medical practice. So understand that government has created the problems and government can't solve the problems. In fact, they don't want to solve the problem. They want to ration access to health care and kill off the elderly. And if you don't believe that, this is what they really intend. And you need to get our material on planned population control and the syllabus that goes with that. You want to get our material certainly on Nundare College genocide, our talk on population control. You need to get and these are all available, DVDs and on videos. You need to get the information so you can document what's going on in the world today. You need to get my pamphlet. It's called The Population Control Agenda Monograph. It's up on our website at RadioLiberty.com. But if you order anything else, well, I would be glad to send you a copy of it free of charge, and it's certainly one of the best things that's available out there. We have an excellent DVD on population control. It's called The End Game. It's put together by our friend Alex Jones, and he did an excellent job on bringing the information out about the population control agenda and the plan to kill off a large part of the population of our nation and, indeed, the world. If you haven't seen Dr. Ayo's wonderful DVD, Mercury Autism and the Population Control Agenda, and it comes with a CD-ROM that thousands of pages of documentation of the toxicity of the mercury that they're putting in the vaccines or giving to pregnant women in America and to children throughout the world. Yes, and they give it to our children as well, starting at age 6 months, and knowing full well that they were going to poison them with mercury and destroy their minds, at least many of the children. In fact, it's estimated that there are between 1 and 2 million autistic children in America today. That one in every six children has some sort of a neurodevelopmental abnormality. They're destroying our children. Are you concerned about it? Are you concerned in the least? Well, Dr. Abe's wonderful talk. Of course, Mercury Autism and the Global Population Agenda, it's a DVD, and then we have a great new DVD. It's Dr. Blaylock's talk on vaccines and brain development, vaccines and brain development. Excellent DVD, and because you can get it on CD if you'd prefer, but the DVD is excellent because you can actually see all of the charts and the source of his information. All of these things are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, you need to get my little pamphlet on We Are a Republic. You need to get my information on the financial meltdown. You need to understand what's going on today, because they're going to destroy the economy of our country. And with that, all remembrance of freedom. Our number again, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and well, right now they're going to be the views of Dr. David Kennedy, who's a retired dentist. And are you completely retired now, David?
No, from clinical practice, I'm still trying to save our nation.
Well, I really appreciate it. Dr. Kennedy certainly has put together a great deal of information on water fluoridation. He's also done a great deal of information on the toxic effect of the mercury in your cavities. And I will tell you, I've had all my mercury cavities taken out, but you want to be very careful when you do that, because you can get mercury intoxication by getting your fillings out if it's not run properly. So, but as far as the water fluoridation, that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Do you realize that today, why they're poisoning our children? They have the statistics. They know that if you fluoridate the water, you have increase in heart disease, you have increase in thyroid disease, you have increased in premature menarche, menstrual periods, and early adolescence in the children. You're poisoning their bodies. You lower their intelligence. You decrease the fertility. You lower the testosterone level. You decrease the sperm count. All of these things are certainly known. But why don't the people as a whole know it, David? I mean, this is the most incredible thing. I think they would think that every doctor would be telling their patients, every dentist would be telling their patients about the danger of water fluoridation instead of increasing something that is destroying the very soul of our people.
I have no idea why they are not up to their own due diligence, if you would say, their responsibility, but not very many take it very seriously.
Well, of course, it's with so many things. If you control the access to information, if you control the medical schools, if you control the dental schools, you control the dental organizations, you control the medical organizations, then you can ridicule anybody who points out that we're doing to our people just exactly what Adolf Hitler did to the prisoners in his concentration camps, what the Soviets did to the prisoners in their concentration camps, using, fluoride as a sedative to keep people, fat, dumb, and happy, and suddenly tranquil. The last thing you want is people upset. And people never realize, of course, we have all these psychiatric medicines, Prozac and so many of the others, Luvox, and they're all fluoride compounds, because fluoride does have an effect on the mind. You pick up this story, David.
It certainly does have an effect on the mind, and maybe that's why my colleagues have so much trouble paying attention. It certainly does affect the children in school. Think about it. You know, we get them up in the morning and give them a nice big breakfast cereal, and there's a big dose of fluoride. Anything in a box or a can has fluoride in it, and cereal is no exception. We've measured 10 parts per million in Wheaties, 2.3, I think it was in Fruit Loops. It's in the both in the artificial sweeteners high fructose corn syrup and so forth as a pesticide residue. So they get a big dose of fluoride and can't learn to read and write.
And already, of course, the people who don't understand that fluoride is prevalent anywhere in our society. It's used as a pesticide, used in insecticide, used in Teflon. It's used in so many of the products that we have in our homes that we certainly don't need any additional fluoride being added to our drinking water. But, of course, they're doing it, and they're doing it anyway. And all the scientific studies show the damage. And yet, of course, if you want to see how they control things, go up on the Internet and look at NTEU280.org. That's the website for the employees at the EPA who try to get the information out. And you go to their section on fluoride, and why they can't find it on the Internet. It's just disappeared. I wonder why. Well, David, you pick up the story.
You know, we do have a controlled access to the media, but the fluoride has always been sold. There was a a town in Donora, Pennsylvania, where the smelting of zinc occurred. It was a company town, and all these smokestacks used to belch smoke back before the environmental protection effort. And in the Halloween night in the 1930s, the temperature inversion occurred, and it got the town so full of smog that people choked to death. They developed lung and edema and basically died. And the public health service went in there and said, "Yep, no, the air just got too thick." But that was long before the Environmental Protection Agency and things like that occurred. But you know, they basically started lying to the American public, 70 years ago about who would have thought air pollution could kill you? Well, any of the athletes that went over to Beijing for the Olympics can tell you, the air there is pretty bad. I was in Beijing in 1999, and, you walk out the hotel, and you got a sore throat before you get to the car. It was just terrible air. And that's exactly where our air would be today, if it weren't for laws restricting that. But they continually lie to us about how serious a problem air pollution is. But you know what the most serious air pollutant is fluoride. Nobody even knew that. The most loss of crop financially is due to fluoride, and that it kills plants, it kills people, and it comes out of every smokestack where they were smelting any kind of iron ore or zinc or aluminum. It's a fluoride is hooked to those metals, and so whenever you heat them up and draw off the contaminants, you drive off the fluoride. And that's the main problem with our relationship with our government, is that government works on behalf of industry to make sure that the industry doesn't lose a little profit trying to keep the people around it from choking to death. And that's not the right relationship between the society and the government. They should be trying to keep us healthy rather than trying to keep the industry from, losing a few dollars.
I agree with you totally. Well, our telephone number, our guest is Dr. David Kennedy. We're talking about the fluoride problem. It is a very real problem. It's not imaginary. It's not made up. I mean, we have all sorts of fluoride in our environment. It's sprayed on our grapes. If you drink wine, you get a lot of fluoride. Well, like a little fluoride once in a while is not the worst thing, but certainly. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest is Dr. David Kennedy. David, why aren't there any lawsuits to try to protect the people from the poison? This is a waste product. It is simply, simply other countries will not put it in their water supply. No other country in the world, I know, except I think a couple of places in Ireland, because the British hate the Irish, where they fluoridate the water there, but almost no other place in the world puts fluoride in the water. Why would you want to put a deadly poison, especially when they're using hydroflow salicylic acid that has arsenic and lead and plutonium 220 or something like that? All sorts of horrible things. Why would they want to put that into the water? Is that polonium or plutonium? Plutonium, isn't it?
The why is the difficult one. Years ago, the John Birch Society thought it was a communist plot. Now we're buying fluoride from China and putting it in our water while the Chinese are taking it out of there. So it certainly doesn't seem like a communist plot, so it might be a capitalist ploy. But it's a very strange relationship when the government thinks that it's better to poison their citizens than to come clean. They started a lie years ago when they were making the atomic bomb, and the lie was that fluoride's good for you, and that's because they were afraid of lawsuits. There's a book on the subject called The Fluoride Deception, and I think you have that book, don't you? And,
yes, we used to carry it. I was looking, I didn't see it the other day in the list of products, but it's an excellent book, and if you want to get a copy, give us a call. I'll find out why we don't carry it. Go right ahead.
It's a very good book, but it pointed out to how the lie started back in the 1950s, when the Manhattan Project had poisoned horses and cattle and peach orchards around the original uranium extraction plant. And in order to thwart lawsuits, a fellow named Harold Hodge was assigned the top secret task of proving that fluoride was safe. Well, that's not what a scientist is supposed to do, is not to go out and prove something is good. They're supposed to look at an issue and solve the question. But he set up demonstration studies to show how safe it was. Obviously, nobody else has been able to duplicate those studies because they weren't real studies. They were phony baloney studies so that they could win their lawsuit, and that's what they've been doing ever since. But they don't want to come back to the American public and says, oh, you know, by the way, you know, those demonstration studies we set up in 1945 were really phony, and that we've destroyed the brains of the children of this country for more than 50 years in order to protect our nuclear program. We didn't want to admit that. It would be a little embarrassing. So they keep the lie going. But now the lie is so big, we're actually buying fluoride from Mexico and China to put in our water supply, because, you know, they don't put it in there, so they have a big pile of it. So what are we going to do with it? Oh, let's sell it to the Americans. They're stupid enough to put in their water. And the only places in the world that routinely add fluoride to the water supply is speak English. We got Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, Southern Ireland, and the United States, and about 10% of Britain. There's none in continental Europe. There's areas of Africa that have high levels in the Rift Valley, have high levels of natural fluoride. But there's a whole program to try to get it out of the water there. That's not fluoridation. But sometimes the fluoridation there are known to claim that as a fluoridated area. No, it's an area of natural fluoride that cripples people. There are more people crippled worldwide from fluoride than any other water pollutant or air pollutant.
Well, what about people here in the United States? Do some of the people here get actually crippled from the use of fluoride products?
Yes, they do. It's called arthritis. You have the first symptom of fluoride overdose is skeletal pain. And so we give them Celebrex or something like that, and that they hobble around for another 20, 30 years and kill them right away. So, you know, it's really good for the sales of analgesics and NSAID. So we just live with the pain. And but we have more people with arthritis than almost any other country in the world. Of course, they would say, oh, you can't prove that caused this. And what's interesting is you can prove that caused this. And that's the thing has recently been shown in horses. I did a video documentary that is called Poison Horses, and that horsewoman, Kathy Justice, was very upset when she lost her sixth horse. She raises these and shows them and has rooms full of ribbons, and they get, you know, beautiful organic diets, and you know, they're best cared for animals on the planet. And her baby doe, her broodmare, passed away, and she just went to the ends of the earth to figure out what that horse died of. And with the help of Jeff Green, they got the veterinarian pathologist to look at the bone. And you know what? When that horse died of fluoride poisoning, the bone shows what killed the horse. And you can actually measure the amount of fluoride in the bone, and you can look histologically and see that the fluoride accumulated in the bone and caused abnormal bone formation. So they were able to show that that animal did die of drinking water fluoridation. And so that was in Pagosa Springs, Colorado. And since that time, there have been yet two more studies published showing that horses do die from drinking fluoridated water.
Well, now, were they able to get the fluoridated water out of the water in that community?
They did. They certainly did, and they... she calls them the liars, but the liars came to town, and she said to educate us, and they have a fairly knowledgeable township there in Pagosa Springs, and when they came up with their big stories and their phony baloney lies, that the townspeople just basically, she said, pretty much tore them up. You were asking about lawsuits. In three different states, Texas, Illinois, and Pennsylvania, the issue of water fluoridation has gone into lengthy trials, and it's been hard to get to court on these issues. One of the first cities to actually take up the issue was here in San Diego in 1954, But this is in the 90s, late 80s and 90s, and they actually did get a court trial, lengthy trials, 14 days and in one case and more in another. And the all three courts came to exactly the same conclusion, that fluoride's a harmful substance, it doesn't, no evidence of benefit, and it increased the cancer death rates, and it aggravates existing illnesses. And that all three of those were on appeal, went to their state Supreme Courts, and the Supreme Court overturned the injunctions that were given in all three cases, saying that the state or the government has the power to add a substance to the public drinking water that causes adverse health effects if it deems it necessary. Now think about that. The state can poison the people if the state decides it needs to.
Well, you see, the thing is, David, we never hear about these lawsuits. Because of the blackout, because of the controlled media, the average individual doesn't understand that the courts have said it's all right to poison the people. I mean, how could you possibly justify poisoning children? And yet they're doing that all across America today, not only with the fluoride, but with the mercury and with the aspartame and the genetically unmodified foods and so many other things, certainly. But, of course, the average individual has no idea what's going on.
That's absolutely correct. And that, you know, the courts can come up with these fancy-dancy decisions, but you can't shop that that decision around to any of the public and get any of them to agree with you. You don't have a right to poison me. And so that's our next lawsuit right there. It'll be a federal lawsuit based upon your constitutional right to be safe in your own home against unreasonable intrusion and your right to not be forced to take drugs that have never been FDA approved. Because what they're putting in the water is technically a drug. Anytime you use something to prevent or treat a disease of man or animal as a drug, it's supposed to be regulated by the Food and Drug Administration.
But
so they're piping to you hazardous waste.
But of course, I've read some of the briefs that have come out of the FDA, and they're all certainly designed to just put off anything. They're obscure. They're designed to confuse, say, we're going to look into this, we're going to study this. They've been doing this for 50 years. And how many lives have been shattered? How many people have died of heart disease? Because we know that in the areas where they actually fluoridate the water, the incidence of heart disease goes up at least 50%. They know these things. These are scientific facts, and yet the average American citizen in free America, where we have freedom of the press, they've never been allowed to know, because when you have freedom of the press, it means if you own the press, you have the freedom to suppress whatever information you want to.
And suppress they do. There's a train caught on fire and it started belching terribly toxic smoke in a tunnel, and the firefighters were basically their job was to evacuate people from the area, and that they had all this hoo-ha on the radio and TV about, you know, the evacuation and the train and all that stuff. Never once did they mention what was burning on the train. It's the stuff that they're adding to the water for the purpose of adding fluoride to the water. It's hazardous waste. And it's hydrofluorosilicic acid. I think this is sodium silicon fluoride. Same stuff. But, you know, who would want something that burns with such a toxic gas that it actually ate the concrete inside that tunnel where the train was on fire? So, you know, it'll eat through steel.
My understanding is that the scientists of the EPA brought a suit against the government so they could get fluoride-free water. They didn't want to drink that. These are the scientists of the EPA.
That's right. And they filed basically a grievance. They formed a union because the EPA was forcing them, said, you will find this material safe. And they said, well, we've sworn an oath to this country to follow the laws. We're not going to do what you say. We're going to do what science is. They said, you'll either do what we say or you'll be fired. So they formed a union, not over wages, but over the ethics of water fluoridation.
And it didn't do any good, of course. At least they put out reports, and actually, amazingly enough, the report that wasn't there last night is up on the Internet tonight, Dr. Hersey's testimony. You need to read it from the EPA. Well, David, go right ahead.
Yes, Dr. Hersey's testimony is actually on that DVD that you have.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt, that nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Sydney, David, you know, as we look and see what's happening, and we actually look and see what's happening to our children. Certainly, I believe that all of these products, I believe that aspartame, that mercury, that fluoride have an impact on the brain. And our children, you know, when they graduate from high school, most of these kids cannot compete effectively in competitive examinations with children from other countries. How can we continue to be a great nation when they're poisoning and destroying the minds of so many of our children?
Well, the answer is we can't, and we aren't. And, you know, it has destroyed our nation, and that they should be ashamed, and that they're not paying attention, and I think it's our obligation to make them pay attention. Is it not surprising that children that drinking fluoridated water have lower IQ and difficulties learning? Is if you take a rat and make him drink fluoridated water for 52 weeks and then slice him up under the microscope, he has lesions, spots on his arteries, brain, and kidney. So, you know, if it's bad for rats, how can it be good for humans? We live, you know, 50, 60, 70 years. If it damages the rat in just 52 weeks, and it takes 20 times more fluoride to kill a rat than a human. Is it 5 milligrams per kilogram will kill anybody on the planet? 100 milligrams per kilogram of fluoride will kill half the rats. So, you know, when you talk about a presumably toxic dose, it takes a lot more to kill a rat, and yet when you give them fluoridated water with pure distilled water and sodium fluoride added to it in exactly one part per million fluoride, then they get lesions in the brain, arteries, kidney. That's a study by Varner, Jensen, and Isaacson, and published in Brain in 1998. So, you know, end of story. You know, so how can you justify feeding the kid high fluoride breakfast cereal, sending him off to school, drinking fluoridated water at the school, brushing their teeth, and some of them even have a swish and spit program with fluoride to, you know, start their day. You know, of course they can't learn. The brain is being cooked by chemicals, so it's not surprising that these children are having a great deal of difficulty with their intellectual capacity.
And, Christian, then there's the aluminum as well in the vaccines, which all of these things are toxic to the brain. The fluoride, the mercury, the aluminum, the aspartame, the NutraSweet, all of these products poison the brain. Why would you want to do something like that? Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we'll get to Mike here in just a moment. But if you're out there in the listening audience and you've never heard these things, we have all the documentation. We have the papers where we have the books. We have the things that you need to know. This book on the fluoride deception, very important. The DVDs that David Kennedy has put out, and we do carry them, several of them, on this subject. And, of course, we carry his DVDs on the mercury as well, but the DVDs he's put together on fluoride are so excellent, and they're specifically designed so that you can show them on cable television. You could reach people, you can get them to think, you can get them to realize that they're poisoning the minds of our children. If they'd poison the minds of the children, why would we be surprised that they would actually, you know, destroy our economic system that plunges us into another war just for the fun of it? Another terrible war, a senseless and useless war like every war we fought during the last century, and like the one we're fighting in Iraq today, and of course where we were fighting Al-Qaeda, but who was funding Al-Qaeda? Why, they were being funded by Pakistan and by Saudi Arabia. And who was funding Pakistan and Saudi Arabia? Why, good old Mr. and Mrs. American, giving over $3 billion a year to Pakistan, and I don't know what relations we have with Saudi Arabia, but we do know that the Bush family was very close to the Saudi princes, and the Saudi princes were involved with the funding of Al-Qaeda. You can't run a revolutionary movement without money. And, of course, but this doesn't make sense. Well, it doesn't make sense what they're doing with the fluoride either. Poisoning our children. You can knock 10 points off an IQ, of course, with fluoride. And that's not so bad when you got an IQ of 160 and knock it to 150. But what happens if you got an IQ of 80? And, of course, why would you want to do anything that would harm the minds, the fertility, the endocrine system, the enzyme system, the bones, and carcinogenic? All of these things are byproducts of water fluoridation. We have the scientific studies. You need to get our material. You need to help us get it out across America. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty with our special guest. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Mike on the line. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
I have a question or comment.
Yeah, I just tuned in not too long ago, okay. And I was curious as to, is there any good that it offers as far as, like, just the amount of fluoride in your toothpaste?
Why don't you address that? Because I think that's an important question, and I think Dr. Kennedy can answer that. But I will tell you from my personal experience, I quit using fluoridated toothpaste. I got cavities. I went back on it. But it is because fluoride actually acts locally to kill the bacteria. And there are other ways to do it, and Dr. Kennedy's written a book on that which we actually carry. But he said it does not do any good at all to swallow it. It's very harmful locally. Of course, right. You know, it affects the bacteria count, and it's the bacteria that produce the cavities. But Dr. Kennedy, you pick up the story.
Yeah, and the way it affects the bacteria is disturbing, and it makes them inhibits their ability to breathe, their respire ability to produce energy. It does the same thing to you. It absorbs through the mouth mucosa very readily. So my brother Ted had a terrible problem with cavities. He had radiation for a cancer, didn't stop the cancer, but it caused an enormous number of cavities. And he was growing like a cavity every month. And these are terrible things to fix because, you know, there's no saliva at all because of the radiation. And so there's a doctor down in Puerto Rico had a bunch of babies that were getting baby bottle tooth decay, you know, from the mothers putting sugar in the bottle. And she found that just a little splash of iodine, she dabbed it on these kids' teeth six times a year, not brushing between meals or four times a day, six times a year, and she reduced the amount of tooth decay expected in those babies in a scientific study named Lopez. Reduced the tooth decay more than 50%. So I told Ted about this, and so he took a little iodine, dabbed it on a toothbrush, and started brushing with it, and that was he stopped having cavities immediately. He hasn't had another one since. So if you can stop tooth decay, that fluoride wouldn't even touch it. You can't have any effect on it. And matter of fact, in Lopez's study, the fluoride had no difference in the decay rate in the infants than the ones that had water. But the iodine was tremendously beneficial. So if you want, and the reason, among other things, is iodine kills bacteria. So do you want to just choke them, or do you want to kill them? And so I don't like bacteria that are eating my teeth, and so killing them is a good idea.
Okay, and Mike. But yeah. Basically, ingesting the fluoride is really terribly detrimental, and you'd be better off if you weren't using it at all. But yeah. If you're one of those people like I was, that sometimes you have to do it. But you know, anyway, any other questions?
No, I think that pretty much does it. I'll try the iodine out.
All right, fine. Give it a try. And thanks very much. Let's go to Ray calling from Santa Cruz. But right now, before we get to Ray, our guest this evening, Dr. David Kennedy. And Dr. Kennedy, would you like to get, I know that you don't have a website, but you are affiliated with others. You do have a book which we carry on teeth. What's the title of it?
How to Save Your Teeth.
How to Save Your Teeth. We do carry Dr. Kennedy's book. We do carry some of his DVDs, and they are specifically designed. They're half an hour, so you can play them on television. You need to help us get the truth out. Well, we still can, but believe me, we're moving rapidly towards a dictatorship. Well, let's go to Ray, who's on the line here from Santa Cruz. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Go ahead, Ray.
I have two questions. The first one was answered with the iodine. What kind of iodine? Just regular?
Lots of different kinds of iodine. Povidone iodine is a mixture of ammoniated iodine. It's particularly effective, but it's for topical use only, so you got to spit it back out.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
The other kind is Lugol. It's a half potassium iodide and half iodine, and you can take several drops of that a day as a nutrient. So, you know, take your pick. Name your poison.
Oh, okay. But the question was, I understand that the mayor of L.A. Wants to use reconstituted sewer water for drinking water, and I it's kind of alarming. I've heard that, and I don't know what is there any truth to that or.
That's San Diego too. You know what they need to do is just admit. That the tap water is not fit to drink anyway.
Right.
And then you know, put whatever they want to in it and tell us to go get our own water. But, you know, they're not willing to be honest about it. Yeah. So, no, it's unfortunate, but they're hell-bent to make sure that we all drink toilet to tap. They want to have a completely closed system. The interesting thing about that is it really decreased the demand for the fluoride because once you put the stuff in the water, you can't get it out. Is that the biggest problem is that the fluoride continues to accumulate. The only way to get fluoride out of the water effectively is distill it. The giant distiller on this planet is one of the songs used to say, snow men sleep in the sea, because the ocean evaporates, turns into clouds, comes back as rain. Now, that's pure water. But after that, it's always used water, so it's not a good idea, I don't think. But they're not listening to me. But the public turns up their nose and says, you know, we don't want this. What they need to do is just admit that you can't waste water. You can't pour water down the drain, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, Ray? Did you have another?
Yeah, there was one other thing. I just happen to feel that these agencies like the FDA and so forth, I think it's a problem of they have to placate industry. Certain people high up in industry and government, you know, are doing this. You know, they're sabotaging the water, you know, with the fluoride, and it's because of politics. You know, it's because of bureaucracy, you know, and the system and industry, you know, pressuring these agencies like the FDA and politicians in turn, you know, playing little games too with it. So I think it's kind of hard for anything to be done, you know, with the way the political system.
The thing is, Ray, we need to get the people up in arms and understand. I hope you'll help us get the information out.
Yeah.
God bless you. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Craig, calling from San Diego. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Craig. How are you doing?
Okay,
you got to speak. You got to speak up. Go right ahead. Speak up a little louder.
I'm a little under the weather, but I've talked to Dr. Kennedy before, and I want to thank him for encouraging me to get my mercury out. I finally did that at the beginning of the year, which has helped a lot. But on the fluoride issue, I was curious about hot tub usage. If the fluoride's in the water, does it do you absorb it through the skin?
Yeah, unfortunately, you do absorb a lot of it. Both from your hot tub and from your swimming pool and from your shower, and the skin is the largest organ in the human body, and so soaking in fluoridated water, whether it's, you know, for recreational purposes or bathing, is going to give you a big dose. But, you know, and for one thing, you know, you look at babies, these little teeny guys, you know, take baths fairly frequently, and they absorb a lot. They could get almost the same dose from soaking as they can from drinking. It used to be in the 1920s and 30s that there was a whole program of taking a fluoridated water bath to suppress the thyroid. So there's actually good science now showing that giving a kid a bath in fluoridated water damages the thyroid. Well, what does a damaged thyroid have? Well, lower IQ, a higher incidence of cancer, obesity, neurological impairment. You know, bad thyroid is not a good news. It's bad for you to have your thyroid crippled, and that's exactly what fluoride does.
And it's especially in a hot tub. That's an excellent way to really get poisoned by it. Okay, anything else, Craig?
Well, yeah, Dr. Kennedy had said that once the fluoride's in the water, it's almost impossible to get it out. Now, I bought a Berkey water filter, and they have the alumina filters that are supposed to attract the fluoride. Does he know anything about that, how effective they are?
Yeah, and it doesn't work. After, you know, if you look at the thing, it said this is good for 5,000 gallons or something like that. And what we've asked every manufacturer of these high-dollar products. They didn't give you that filter. They sold it to you for big dollars. And we've asked every single one of them to give us the results of the independent testing showing that at the end of the usable life, how much fluoride that filter is removing. and it's, they won't, but we've tested some of them, and there's nothing. And that, yes, aluminum will attract fluoride, but all filters suffer from a problem called channeling. And that you've seen channeling happen on the planet Earth is that the rain came down all over the Earth and it ended up cutting a river, like the Grand Canyon. Well, why did it do that? I don't know. Water channels. It doesn't soak through evenly. It follows the path of least resistance. And after you run, you know, 100 gallons through that expensive filter, the water has found a way through that filter that's easier than going around through the whole filter at one time. So it doesn't go through filters evenly throughout the filter. It goes through a channel. And that's why they've adamantly refused to give us the results of any testing at the end of the usable life.
Have you ever talked to Jim Shepherd who puts out the Berkey filters?
No.
I mean, it might be worthwhile because I've talked to Jim really, and he claims they're only good for about 6 months. You've got a replacement 6 months.
It's the number of gallons.
Right.
It's not the time. And that's the mistake, you know, that everybody makes. It's good for 6 months. They can't be good for 6 months. You know, I can run 5,000 gallons through it in a week.
Most people are not going to do that in their home.
But they might, and so that they need to have...
If they're drinking that much water, why they're going to have to replace them every week?
We're talking bathing here.
Right.
You know,
but
100 gallons a day is what the average person uses.
Right. Well, anyway, Craig, if you have any questions, you give me a call off the air, will you? Okay, fine. Let's go, of course, to Robin calling from Carmel. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Robin, do you have a question?
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Stan. My question is about reverse osmosis water, which is sold, dispensed at my local health food store. And the advertisement says it removes fluorides. What is your opinion, Dr. Kennedy?
The reverse osmosis never removes 100% of the fluoride. It removes some of the fluoride. But it, too, suffers from technology. Is it what happens to the RF? Very soon the filter gets eaten by the fluoride, and the amount of its ability to remove fluoride decreases. That's why I keep saying...
Oh, hold that thing for just a moment. We're having a little problem here with our board. We'll be right back. Go ahead, David.
The big problem is that people, they need to measure these things at the end of the alleged usable life, if you will. One of the guys that runs these vending machines, you know, that are dispensed fluoride, you know, supposedly good water for 25 cents a gallon or something at the stores, we had a long discussion with him, and he says that they disconnect the RO system in most of those machines outside the 7-Eleven or wherever it is after the first cycle on membranes, because that's the expensive part. And so they just, you know, still have a carbon filter. The water tastes better, and carbon removes no fluoride. So that there are machines that measure fluoride, and like I said, we have been measuring fluoride in products and beverages and in a lot of these machines, and that, you know, you need to have a certificate from the manufacturer that this is going to work for the usable life of the filter. No manufacturer has been willing to do that. And so that, you know, makes you think, well, you know, if you were going to buy a loaf of bread and the baker wouldn't say this bread is suitable to eat, then you'd have to say, well, maybe I better find another bakery.
Okay, anything else, Robin?
Yes, just one more question. Could an individual take a water sample and have it tested by the county to see if it has fluoride in there?
The county's not going to do it for you. There are companies, independent water testing companies, that will do it for you. It's relatively inexpensive. But,
okay.
Yes, you can.
And do you have a website?
I do not, know, but you can Google fluoride water testing. The machine that they need is an ion-specific electrode. Any analytical laboratory will have that equipment.
All right, but Dr. Kennedy suggests the Keepers of the Well website. That's run by Jeff Green, okay?
Thank you.
God bless, and let's go to Robert, who's calling from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hi, Robert. Are you listening to us on the station? Are you listening to us on shortwave or Internet?
On the Internet, but I'm in California, not Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. You're in Pittsburgh. Okay, Pittsburgh, California. Go right ahead. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I was going to ask the doctor about, I have some iodine tincture in antiseptic. Could I use that?
It'll say on there, that's probably a, Dr. Stan, it's a tincture of iodine, that's alcohol and iodine.
I think it is, right, and I don't really know whether that's safe or not. I think the Lugol's we know would be safe. The Lugol solution would do it.
L-U-G-O-L-S, you can type it in and get a ton of it on the internet. It's half iodine and half iodide. Well,
we know that's safe, and I don't know about the other.
You wouldn't drink it, but you can use several drops a day and not have any problem. Povidone, which is ammoniated iodine, can be used as long as you're very careful to spit it back out. Some people on the planet are allergic to iodine, and that my friend Sherry Tenpenny had some patients that thought they were allergic to iodine, and she found that by giving them a daily dose of Lugol's, that the allergy went away. And she concluded that it was not a true allergy, it was just the body reacting to the fact that the iodine knocks the fluoride and the bromine off of the cells, and they were reacting to the removal of the noxious stuff from the cells rather than the iodine itself.
And you know, one of the problems is we've got bromide in so many of the drinks, so many of the
bread even.
Right, and this is a terrible thing. And iodine, we need iodine, but we certainly don't need fluoride or bromide. That's for sure. Anything else you want to ask, Robert?
Yeah, ask them about hydrogen peroxide.
Hydrogen peroxide is within my book. I recommended that people use the hydrogen peroxide in their mixture of ingredients that they clean their teeth with. It's relatively safe. It will irritate the gums if your gums get irritated, then back off for a few days and go back to using it. And eventually you'll actually toughen your gums. So it's a very good way to provide oxygen to the bacteria in the mouth, and that's the deal. The bacteria that cause heart disease and a whole bunch of other terrible problems in the body are ones that can't stand oxygen. Well, I can, so give them lots of oxygen.
All right. Basically, Robert, we do have Dr. Kennedy's book on how to save your teeth, okay?
All righty.
God bless.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, and let's go to Bart, who's calling from Aptos. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Hi, Bart. How are you doing?
Hey, good. How are you?
Haven't heard from you in a little while.
Yeah, that's me. Okay. Yeah, I just wondered if distilling water, I had this Kenmore countertop distiller from Sears. I've been using it about 20 years. Does that get rid of the fluoride?
Yes, it does. Distillation and deionization are the two reliable ways to remove basically everything from water. On the internet, you could watch a excerpts from one of my documentaries called Poison Horses, and in there, Kathy Justice has a similar distiller as what you're describing, a countertop distiller.
Yeah.
And she saves the gook out of the inside of it, and she's showing me in the it's a farm girl. She's got three mason jars with the stuff in it. And, when they were adding fluoride to the water supply, it looks like she's taking maybe a half a cup of cottage cheese out of this thing. It's got brown specks in it. And
yeah, it looks like a baby's diaper there.
Exactly. Well, and then when the citizens of Pagosa Springs were successful in making them stop, that it boils down to just a thin layer of mud, because the water had to run down the mountain to get to the town. So
yeah, there's minerals and such. Yeah,
it changed from a half a cup of cottage cheese to a thimbleful of mud. So which is a testament to how much chemicals they're using in order to put this stuff in the water, because they don't just add fluoride; they add 6.8 parts per million hydrofluorosilicic acid. And that also has to be neutralized, so they have to add a whole bunch of base to neutralize the acid to keep it from eating through the pipe. So, time you get done, you've got dump trucks showing up at the water treatment plant just for the purpose of medicating the population.
Jeez, yeah. Well, I was told in some advanced science track they had me on in high school back in the 60s that distilled water would kill you within a week.
Well, if that were true, you have to think back for just a little bit about how mankind lived on this planet a few thousand years ago. We didn't have a drilling rig so that you drank surface water. Surface water comes out of the sky. Rainwater is distilled water.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Okay.
And so you can't believe everything that you hear today.
Gee, well, I'm glad I hung on and had some doubts through the years.
All right, God bless. Thanks very much.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was Bart, and let's go to Marilyn, who's calling from El Sobrante. Hi, Marilyn. Hang on, we'll be back in just a minute. Our guest has been Dr. David Kennedy, and certainly one of our resident experts on the process of poisoning the American people. Help us get the information. At the end of the program, we'll tell you the material we have. Some of it, I think, is excellent. Material you need to get out. You need to reach your dentist. You need to reach your friends. And if your dentist is going to continue poisoning them, get a new dentist. Well, let's go to...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Get them, and they're not that expensive, and get them distributed. And then, of course, we have my talk on the hidden agenda. It's really rather well done, even if I do say so. And then, of course, there's a syllabus that goes with that. It's even more important because it gives you all the documentation for everything I say and the scientific studies and what the CDC says. And they tell you it doesn't do any good to ingest the fluoride. It only acts topically. So if it only acts topically, why are we poisoning the people? And the answer should be fairly obvious. We have four excellent tape sets with interviews with Dr. Phyllis Molinex and Dr. Hersey and other people on water fluoridation, fluoridation update. So all the information you need is there. We carry the book, The Fluoride Deception. And I think we'll be carrying very, very soon the dope book by Dr. Dean that we actually had on yesterday. I think that he's done an excellent job of putting this together from a different point of view, from a book point of view. But the information is there, and if you get the book, The Fluoride Deception, the four tape sets, and they're two separate four tape sets. We even have a fluoride special, and we actually give you the information that comes from the EPA, and you think you get a four tape set and some DVDs, and I'm not sure what's on the fluoride special, but call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You can buy the items separately, or you can get them together at a special reduced price. So call us at 1-800-544-8927 and order the material on fluoride. We've got information on mercury. We've got DVDs, Sweet Remedy, Sweet Misery on mercury, and then we have a couple of four tape sets on mercury. You must understand that the mercury in your fillings, the mercury that is in the vaccines is poisoning our people, and they know that. And so does the aluminum, and of course the aluminum that's in the vaccines. And the aluminum we get so many places is terribly, terribly toxic. And then of course we have four tape sets on genetically modified foods, and we recommend those at interviews with Jeffrey Smith. We carry Jeffrey Smith's book, excellent book on genetically modified food. The title escapes me, but you just call us at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and ask for the material on and the book on genetically modified foods. And we have a great, I think we have two four tape sets on genetically modified food. You need to get this information. We've got a great DVD on vaccines. It's by our good friend Dr. Russell Blaylock. It's entitled Vaccines and Brain Development. Vaccines and Brain Development. We've got the excellent DVD by Dr. David Aub, Mercury, Autism and the Global Population Agenda. And with that, you get free of charge a CD-ROM with literally thousands of pages of documentation on the toxicity of mercury. You must understand they know what they're doing. We actually have the Southwood Report. This is the secret report that the government put together. You can actually read the testimony, what was said at this meeting, where they decided that the mercury was poisoning the children. And people were saying, well, my kids are not going to get any mercury. But, of course, they've suppressed that from the American people. This was actually top secret, a CDC meeting. Why would a CDC meeting, a meeting of the Centers for Disease Control, be top secret? Because they don't want the American people to know they're poisoning our people. And if you want to know what happened when I went to the Centers for Disease Control for several days, you need to get my book. It's titled AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, and I realized right then there were people there who did not want to stop the AIDS epidemic, and over 500,000 Americans have died unnecessarily. So please.